To be with you this morning, especially to share the Word of God with you. Whether you like it or not, you're going to put up with me the rest of maybe 30 minutes or so. You'll be hearing Burmese English. And so I'll try my very best to do. And if you still cannot follow me, and that'll be your fault, I would say. And I want to thank Pastor Gradwell for his kindness in sharing the pulpit with me, especially on a day like this, on Sunday morning. Pastors usually preach, and he's very, very kind to share his portion with me this morning. And I really appreciate him for coming to be a blessing to our family, personally to me, and also to our students and our church members. Our church people still talk about the trip that they made. They really enjoy including our students as well. When they came as a team, they brought spiritual liveliness to the lives of our students, to our church members. One Sunday, all of them, it was like a takeover. They were doing all the leading everything. They were even collecting the offering. And our people really loved it. And it was something very special. They were doing a variety of things to reach out to us. And I appreciate him. And I want to thank the church for letting us borrow him for a few weeks to be a blessing to us. Since a few of us were not here this morning, I would like to give you a highlight of what we are doing in our country. The Lord called us to be church planters, basically, in our country. Along with church planting, we are also doing training nationals in a Bible school. And also we do Bible translation ministry as a consultant myself. And so these are three main ministries that we have. Over the past 4.5 years, the Lord has allowed us to see over 500 souls coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We team up with three men, three godly men in the ministry. And from 2011 to 2015, the Lord has allowed us to plant three new churches in our country. Now, from the school, through our graduates, the school has been in existence for 20 years, and we have over 200 graduates in the past 20 years. And with the graduates being very active in the ministry, we see 52 new churches planted in different parts of our country, and we praise the Lord for using our graduates. God is sending more and more students to our Bible school. This last year, we had 56. This year, so far, we have 72 students, Pastor. And we have to rent another apartment, and they are putting them 22 men right now with 5 bunk beds only. And the rest of them are just sleeping on the floor. It's just like this. And we hope to be able to provide maybe bunk beds. And this morning we were talking, Skyping, and that's how we came to know about the situation. And so that's something that you can pray for us as it is a need. And we also are in the process of raising funds for our building project for the Bible school and for a new church plant. So, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, please feel free to talk to us after the service. We'll be there. And please get one of our prayer cards and then pray for us. I know Pastor would be receiving our updates on a regular basis, but if you would like to receive one personally, we have a sign-up sheet on our table. You can write your name and your email address, and then we'll be more than happy to send you our prayer letters. Thank you so much for having us once again. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 13. I would like to read verses 1 and then 7. Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 and 7. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Down to verse 7. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. This morning, I would like to share with you on the topic of fulfilling the work of God. Imagine with me that the children of God, children of Israel, have crossed the Jordan River. God has stopped providing manna and the quails for the people because they have already started eating the produce of the land of Canaan. And God has even provided land for the 2.5 tribe in the eastern part of Jordan River. Here they are standing in the promised land, and yet they still have to possess the land. God has brought them thus far. All through the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and now they have finally crossed the river Jordan, and they are standing right in the promised land. And as they were already in the promised land, God gave specific instructions as to how to go about possessing the land that He has promised to their forefathers. And I believe that as we study this passage in front of us, we can learn three important lessons that we can apply in fulfilling the work of God as we serve the Lord today. And the first truth that I would like to bring out to you is that in fulfilling the work of God, every saved person is invited. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him. I would like to emphasize the very last word of that first part. God spoke unto Joshua as an individual. He has something specific for Joshua. He wanted to talk to him and tell him what he needed to do to possess the land that God has promised to the forefathers. Sometimes when we think of the ministry, soul winning, door knocking, and any church-related ministry, we are tempted to think that these are works designed for pastors and for church leaders, or maybe for deacons. Others, we try to excuse ourselves from doing it. However, today, I want to remind each and every one of us that if we are bought by the blood of Christ, God has called us not just to enjoy heaven. Amen. That is a part of it, the primary calling of our salvation, to spend eternity with our Savior. However, until we get there, while we are here, He has called us to follow Him in the pursuit of holiness and to follow Him in serving Him. Amen. And God has called every single one of us. What makes the difference, the way I see it, is the way we respond to the call of God in our lives. Jesus tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. Are we among the chosen? We can become among the chosen as long as we respond to the call of God in a very positive way. Just simply obeying the call of God and doing what He wants us to do in our lives. We try to teach our people this very truth that every one of our church members has got to be involved in any some type of ministry. As we visit churches in your country, we are so blessed by the good examples that you have set for us. You may not notice it, but as a foreigner, I'm blessed in many ways seeing the way you do things in your country. And so we encourage our ladies of the church to have mission boxes. And so we made wooden mission boxes, and then they distribute it to each lady of our church member. And then every time the Lord speaks to them, they would put some money. And then every 3 months, they will bring the boxes to the church. They will collect whatever is in those boxes. They will help one of the missionaries. It is not much, maybe $20 a month. That's all they could afford from those boxes. And then they also have a missions closet. They'll bring their old clothes and then give to some needy people in our church, and also give out to some of our missionaries who are in need. And our youth group, before they go for missions trips, they will paint our church apartments and raise funds. And they do whatever they can to get involved. And our men, we would encourage them to come with us as we visit some of our people who are sick. And so we are trying to help our people to see that the ministry is not just for the pastoral staff or for the church leaders. It is for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I would like to emphasize for my first point here, that we are called, every one of us is called to serve our Savior. And as we read the book of Exodus, we can summarize the book of Exodus as saved to serve. And that is exactly what we are. We are saved from the bondage of Satan and his clutches. We are saved in order to serve our Savior. Are we serving the Lord as an individual today? And as we move on to the second truth that I'd like to bring out, the last part of verse 1, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." The second truth that I'd like to bring out to us is that in fulfilling the work of God, there is no room for excuses. Now, if I were to write this verse, I would probably write something like, "Thou art old, Joshua, and stricken in years, retire." It's about time for you to retire. Joshua had served the Lord faithfully for 40 years in the wilderness. And he was there in the front line fighting against the battles. And it would probably be time for Joshua to retire. And we learn from history that at this particular time in the life of Joshua, he was about 100 years old, which means that he had only 10 more years to live for God. And if Joshua wanted to make excuses for not serving the Lord, he had probably the best excuse to make. However, the way the Lord saw the life of Joshua was different, and Joshua's commitment to the Lord was very strong. And God did not tell Joshua to retire in spite of his old age. He told Joshua, "You are old, you're well stricken in years, I know, but there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." When we try to make excuses, we are particularly good at making excuses. Every thing that we do not want to do, there will be a very good excuse. It's a ready-made excuse for us. And that is a temptation that we have to fight every day of our lives. If we do not want to come to church, yes, we have a good excuse. If we do not want to read the Bible, there is a good excuse. If we do not want to spend praying to God, we have a very good excuse already. And if we do not want to reach out to other church members, yes, we can be busy all day long. And that can become a good excuse for us. However, in the life of Joshua, in the case of Joshua, he did not make any kind of excuse. He simply followed the Lord. When I read the book of Revelation, what really intrigued me is the revelation that John was receiving on the island of Patmos. Now, John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that which was from the beginning, that which our eyes have beheld, that which we have handled. He had the privilege of listening to the Lord Jesus Christ teach the multitude. He had a first-hand experience of witnessing Christ performing miracles after miracles for 3 years. However, when we come to the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, that John heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, as a sound of the trumpet. As clear as a sound, a loud sound of the trumpet. And then he began to see the risen Savior in ways that he has never seen Christ in his entire life. John was pastoring in the city of Ephesus. And we know that he was facing harsh persecutions from the Roman government. He never quit following the Lord. He never quit serving the Lord in spite of his old age. By the time he was receiving the revelation, the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos, he was about 90 years close to that age. He was very, very old. However, because he was faithful in following the Lord, because he did not make any kind of excuses, the Lord gave him the privilege of seeing Christ in ways that he has never seen him before. If John had given up, the book of Revelation would still be there, but it would have been written by somebody else. As we read the life of Samson, we see that he disobeyed the Lord and then he ended up in a jail, in a prison. But the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16 that Samson killed more of his enemies, the enemies of the Lord, more of them on the day of his death than the rest of his life put together. Just one final day, he slew more Philistines than the rest of his life put together. The way I like to see our Christian life, our walk with the Lord, and our service unto the Lord, is that the best is yet for us to come. Amen. The more we study the Word of God, the more we like and we love to study. The more we serve the Lord, the more we would like to get involved in the ministry. The more we spend ourselves, the more we would like to be spent for the Lord. The more we give unto the Lord, there is joy in giving, and the more we like to give unto the Lord. The best is always yet for us to come. We struggle so much here, and I am glad that God has not given us every detail about heaven. If we know all the pleasures, goodness of being with God for eternity revealed in the Bible, maybe there is a risk of people jumping down from the rooftop, you know, committing suicide so they can spend eternity with God as soon as possible. We know that the best is in store for us. And so, why should we be making excuses for not following the Lord? Why should we be making excuses for not serving the Lord? And then the third truth that I would like to bring out to you is found in verse 7, and that is in fulfilling the work of God, we need teamwork. Verse 7, "Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." Remember, God spoke to Joshua in verse 1, "You are old. I want you to be the leader." However, God did not tell Joshua to do everything on his own. Joshua had his part in serving the Lord. He was going to divide the remaining land for the nine and a half tribes. Within each tribe, each family will have its own responsibility. Within each family member will have his or her responsibility in possessing the land. They were, as a team, to get involved together in possessing the land. So teamwork is so vital in the ministry today. It is one of the truths that God taught us real quick as we went back. Where we were on deputation, we were not very sure as to how or to go about starting the ministry. We know we wanted to serve the Lord. We thought maybe we will start a new ministry right away as soon as we got there. However, as we talked to these men of God who have been in the ministry more than I have been, and as we asked the Lord for direction, it became clear to us that God wanted to work with us, partner with these men. And so we decided team up with them. And the Lord has really blessed our team effort. The presentation that we showed you this morning would have been altogether different if we stood by ourselves as a family, if we refused to work with other men of God in the country. We wouldn't be going much further. And teamwork is so important. We met a man, a veteran missionary who served the Lord for about 30 years in Brazil. And for health reason and age reason, I suppose, he and his wife are back in your country serving the Lord as a full-time minister in one church. And then he was telling me, "Brother Kim, when I was in Brazil for 30 years, we were doing something similar to what you are doing in Burma." Sometimes he said, "We would team up with other missionaries, as many as 15 different missionaries, in doing church planting ministry in Brazil." And he said, within this group, there was one particular family who was not very interested in working with us, teaming with us. And we did not tell him anything. We just let him go his way. And he was trying to do the ministry on his own. And he said that that missionary did not go far at all. And he even ended up coming back to the U.S. After some years. Maybe he was discouraged or so. And so teamwork is really, really vital in our service unto the Lord. Wherever it is, whether it be in the U.S. or any part of the world, the ministry is never a one-man show ministry. It is all about teamwork and being a good team player in that team. And that is what we have been striving to do, trying to be simply a good team player. We have many churches praying for us in your country. We sent out to about 450 individuals our prayer letters every time we send out. I know more people in your country partner with us, praying for us, some of them helping us financially, some just are praying specifically for us. And all that we have been able to do in our country, it's not just us. It is a teamwork. Some people in the country here are holding the roof for us on this side of the world, and we are just there in the front line, so to say. And so teamwork is a third truth that I would like to emphasize in fulfilling the work of God. And as I come to the end of my sharing, I would like to take you back to the very last part of verse 1, where it tells us in verse 1, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. By the grace of God, during our first time, the Lord has allowed us to see souls coming to Christ. He has allowed us to plant three new churches through our combined efforts. And yet, we have a lot more work to do in our country. The harvest is ripe. It is ready. Everywhere you turn, you are going to see pagodas, Buddhist temples in our country. And I'm sure you might have heard the expression, the 1040 window nation. Yes, Burma is one of the 1040 window nations. And we know that about 2/3 of the world's 7 billion live in this 1040 window nation. And here, verses 2 to 6 are the exposition of the much land that remaineth. And this remaining land is not an easy land for the children of Israel. The giants were living there, like the Philistines. It wouldn't be easy for them to possess the land, and yet it was something that God told them to go ahead and possess. This 1040 window nation has three main religions which are deadly against the preaching of the gospel. Buddhism is prevalent in my country, about 90%. In Thailand and in some other surrounding countries. And then we have Hinduism, which is big in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. And then in the rest, we have Islam, which is really, really strong against the preaching of the gospel. To reach out to these nations wouldn't be too easy. However, it is something that God has told us to go and possess with the power of the gospel preaching. And right here in your country, I believe, you have much land that remaineth. As I follow the election, the upcoming election, as much as I can, I am really surprised to read the minds of the majority of the Americans here. I mean, the kind of people you select reveal the kind of mindset that you have. And some of you may have a hard time voting. I'm sure you will have decided by now who to vote. But you would wish, like I would wish, that if Ted Cruz, you know, is one of them, I would be very comfortable maybe voting. But here, right here in Tucson, I'm sure there are several people who know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have much land that is remaining for us to be to go ahead and possess. And so I would like to challenge each and every one of us, wherever we are, regardless of the place and the city where we are, we have much more land to possess. We have more and more people to reach out with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we fulfill the call of God in our lives, let us remember that every saved member is called upon by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him. And as we follow the Lord and serve Him, let us avoid any kind of excuses in fulfilling the work of God. And let us remember, when we put all our different efforts together, that is when the Lord works in a greater way in fulfilling His work. So may the Lord bless us. Thank you so much.
For the challenge about our part in fulfilling the work of God. And I don't know if you feel like Joshua and ready to march around some walls and see him fall down. But not everybody marched around those walls. Some people, I guess most of the camp of Israel did march around those walls. Everybody played a part. Even the people got to shout. So you have a part, too, to play in the work of God. May we be encouraged to do what we can for the kingdom of God. And there are a lot of people around here without the Lord. Some of them even go to churches. They just haven't really found the Lord yet. Let's ask God to use us. I'm excited to hear about the conversions and the opportunities the Lord's given them in Myanmar. They face a lot of the same challenges we do. There are large quasi-Christian churches in Yangon. We were in the doors of one, not far from their ministry. And a big Jesus picture on the wall, and very eclectic kind of a Jesus church. That doesn't mean that they're not getting the truth. They're not getting the gospel. We have churches like that, Jesus churches where people aren't getting the gospel. Be a good person, follow Jesus' rules, and everything will come out okay. And so may we be faithful like these are to take the gospel to people around. Don't just assume that your neighbor, because they go to church, is a Christian. Don't just assume that. Let's ask the Lord to help us to introduce our faith to other people so that they become genuine faith followers of our Savior. Let's have a prayer, and then we'll have our hymn of invitation. If you have a need today, we'd like to be able to help you in any way. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior yet, we would want to invite you to Him, because there isn't hope outside Christ. Jesus is the only one who died for your sins and rose again. And apart from your taking Him as your substitute payment, the door of heaven remains barred. I hope you'll take Him as your Savior. Let's pause for prayer. Father,